Welcome, and thanks for listening to the Well Church Teaching Podcast. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. and would love for you to join us. We hope you will be blessed by our teachings, and as always, we want you to know that God loves you.
We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5 today. Go ahead and turn there. As you're doing this, today's, I think, is going to be powerful. This idea and this struggle of anxiety is, this one's for me. Most of all, and you just get to hear what God's been speaking to me, because anxiety is one of the number one things in my life that I struggle with, and I know, being a pastor and talking to many of you, that many of you struggle with the same thing. So as we dive into this today, just go ahead and hold your Bible up, your phone, whatever, the Word of God, how, whatever form it's in, just hold up, and we're going to pray over that, and we're going to ask God to bless this time and get in. So let's go. God, you are here. We know that you're here. Your presence is here. When two or three gather, you're there with us. But we just pray right now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that your living word and Peter's words would just come to life. And the people that struggle with anxiety and nervousness and fear and worry, my people, I pray right now that you would start to do some healing and life transformation, and that you would just do what you do, and you would fix us from the inside out, because you don't want us to live in this way. God, you are so good. I thank you for our visitors. I pray for them. I pray for the ones that are sick this morning. Pray for our people that are gone out in the world doing whatever, even if they're lazy and just stayed in bed. I pray for them. Pray that they would get back here to worship you and to change the room one person at a time. God, thank you for your son Jesus and the cross and the resurrection and the empty tomb. It's in his name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5, it says this: in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Let me stop there. Those of you that are 55 and up, I want to hear a round of applause right now. Okay? Submit yourselves to your elders. This is a biblical thing. You all have wisdom and you have life experience that we that are younger can learn from. I'm right there in the middle. I'm old, but some of you older folks still say I'm young, and my back does not believe you. All right. But then this is for all of us. All right? Older folks, don't get excited and be like, okay, everybody bow down to us just because we have gray hair. It says this: all of you, that means everyone, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then verse 7 is what we're going to focus on today, but there's a lot more around this. This is why we're reading the whole little gamut of this scripture. It says, cast all of your anxiety on him, because he what? He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I want to stop there for a minute too and say this. Those of us that struggle with anxiety and worry and fear, it's so easy many times to get in this mindset where you're like, I am the only one going through this. I don't have anyone around me that feels like this. It goes hand in hand with what we taught on last week, this struggle of feeling alone. Anxiety and fear and worry, they are a problem in your life, because they will lead you to a point where you feel like you're the only one. But I want you to see the Word of God, which is true and it is full of promises, promises you that people all over the world are going through sufferings just like you, which includes anxiety and worry. You are not alone in this battle. You have your people around you. You are at this church service this morning because God wants to surround you with people that love you, and he wants to work through them to free you from this. All right? I'm going to read that again. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is going the same kind of stuff, same sufferings. It says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, because he is good. Amen? Amen. Today, we're, like you see on your bulletin, we're going to dive into this idea of that life is too short to live in anxiety. Life is too short to be anxious. And I said that this is one of my number one things that I struggle with. I'll just be honest with you. It filled me with anxiety when a couple months ago, when I was planning out my sermons, I was like, oh no, we have to deal with this. So what I did is, yes, I'm on anxiety medication, and I think that is completely fine, by the way. So I took two pills last night just for you. You are welcome. All right? So anxiety is basically this. The definition of it is distress or uneasiness of mind caused by fear of danger or misfortune. But that's an oversimplification of it, because fear and worry, all these things can do it. And that's just a definition from Webster's. But anxiety can come out in all different ways in all different people. But what I want us to focus on today is not what anxiety is, because if you have anxiety and you deal with this, you know what it is. You don't need to have a lesson on what it is, and I'm not a therapist. I don't have a degree in that. And I just want you to know, if you have this, God wants you to be free from it. And I'm not telling you today that he's going to show up and pull a miracle. He might, but he's going to give us in the Bible in ways that we lean into him, like we talked about during communion. If we lean into him more, he's going to show you ways to have less fear, have less worry, have less anxiety. Who can get on board with that? Like, yeah, I need that. All right, there's my people. All right, God is going to do some good things in here this morning. And I say this all the time, but even if you're here and you're like, I don't deal with anxiety, one, I want to talk to you because that's awesome. But two, life might get chaotic. Life might throw a storm in your way that's going to cause you to have some of this in the future. So it's still good for you to listen to. Don't check out and start thinking about Whataburger because the W's on the wall. Thanks, Elijah, for that. Yeah, it's what he does. All right? Here's the thing. A lot of us struggle with anxiety. It's a big issue in this world. There's medicine, there's books, there's all kinds of self-help, there's counselors, there's all of these things, and those are great. If you need help and you struggle with it, I'm not just saying that, oh, just go to God, he's going to fix it. God gave people brains and people to make medicine. He did these things on purpose to help us, but he also asked for us to come to him. And people that are dealing with anxiety, I love what Peter writes in 1 Peter, this chapter 5, why we're looking at this, because he says there's this devil, that we have this enemy that is going to attack us, that's going to come against us. Lights went nuts, so they're freaking out. Everybody give the people behind the scenes a round of applause. That stuff's important, and it sets an atmosphere, and it sets a tone, and when it messes up, they panic. It's pretty awesome to watch, but we love what you do. Without you, some of this stuff wouldn't happen. Would not happen. All right, here's what I want to talk about, though. Peter says this, everybody's under attack. Even the light team is under attack, all right? Everyone is under attack in certain things. Some of you feel alone. Some of you feel anxious. And whatever your attack is, today we're going to talk about this. He says the devil is looking for people to attack, to devour. He's a roaring lion walking around saying, who can I defeat in this life? And before we dive into this and get super deep in this today, I want you to understand what the attack of the devil is, because so many of us have this, and if it's you, you know, I am making fun of you, and just give me grace, but when you're like, oh, you know, it was so cold last week and my car wouldn't start, the devil's attacking me, right? Some of you got real quiet, like, oh, crud, I said that. That's not attack, all right? That's just you need a new battery, right? When you drop your iPhone and the screen cracks, you're like, oh, man, the devil's just out to get me today. No. Okay, that's just because you're clumsy and you broke your phone, right? All of these things. And on the reverse of that, when you go to the mall and you get, like, the front parking spot, and you're like, God's favor, God loves me. No. You just got lucky that some old lady left right as you showed up. It's coincidence. But I want you to understand that real attack, he says the devil is like a roaring what? A roaring lion. He is prowling around looking for people to devour. Not to bite, not to scare, not to roar at. He's looking at people to devour. It says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. When he's attacking you, it's not little things. He's attacking you, and he's trying to take the life that Jesus gave to you away. He's trying to steal your life, to kill your life, and to destroy it. He's trying to devour and make it chaotic. He's trying to fill you with anxiety and with worry and with fear, because he knows that if he does that, you will take your focus off of God and off of Jesus, and you will focus on your issues. But this whole series is life is too short to live in these ways. Life is too short to live being anxious. That's why I'm on medication. I'll be honest with you and just be vulnerable. I, for years, was taught by my parents and other people to take medicine is not, it wasn't that it was unchristian, it was that you weren't strong enough to handle your problems on your own. But I just want you to know that that's not true. Jesus gives us all kinds of things to battle against our issues. And my life has been changed because my wife's speaking truth into me going, get medicine, you're driving us nuts. All right? but also coming under Jesus and learning from him. What I want you to see is that 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter, a guy, we're going to look at Peter a lot. Peter is one of my favorite guys in the Bible outside of Jesus because he did all the things wrong, but he also did a lot of things right. But what he defines the enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion. And I want you to look at what he says. He says, when you come across the devil, the enemy, and he's roaring in your face, he's talking in your ear, what does he say? He doesn't say run, he says resist. He does not say run, he says resist. And I think that's crazy because if I was on a safari in Africa and I'm walking around in my Chacos and I run into a lion, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to run. I'm scared of bats, okay? I'm scared of bats that are in a glass enclosure at the zoo. So if I see a lion, I'm out. It's just sort of like the Bears last week. I don't got to be the fastest. I just got to be faster than you, all right? But in this instance, Peter teaches us, don't run. He says, resist. Look at verse 9 with me. Keep your Bible open all day in chapter 5. It might be up here on the screen. I was nice this week to you. Verse 9 says, resist and what? Resist and persist in the faith. Resist and persist in the faith. How do we stay in our faith? How do we stay faithful? How do we stay believing in the things that we can't see? How do we stay believing in Jesus when everything's falling apart around us and we're just terrified and worried and full of anxiety? How do we persist in this? Go back to verse 6. Peter hung out with this guy named Jesus for 3.5 years. When he wrote this letter to a church, this was decades later in his life. He has now gone through life experience. That's why he's saying, hey, young people, listen to your elders, because he's an old man at this point. He's no longer a teenager. He says, listen to me. Not just because I'm older, but because I've lived this, and I've gone through the school of hard knocks, and I've got there, and I understand how this works now because of what Jesus taught me and then living it out. In verse 6, he says, you want to persist in your faith. You want to resist the devil. He says, humble yourselves under what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. All right, I love the Bible. I love scriptures. But sometimes you read things and you're like, the mighty hand of God, what does that mean? The mighty hand of God is a picture of God's power and his protection and his provision and his plan. And we're going to look at those things today. The hand of God, when an Israelite, a Jewish person would have heard this 2,000 years ago when Peter wrote this, they would have read this and they would have heard the hand of God. It would have brought up images. This is the same hand that led his people out of Egypt. A pillar of fire at night and a pillar of clouds during the day. It's the same hand that through the generations came and rescued his people. The mighty hand of God, that wording represents all of these things that we're going to go through this morning. It represents three important, mightily important things. And I want you to write these down. They're in your teaching handout. Some of you need to deal with these and you need to understand these, especially those of us that are anxious and full of fear and worry this morning. And I get it. Life is crazy, right? You just watch the news and all the stuff about war and missiles that aren't really coming and things that are happening, and you can get anxious or how your kids are being treated, or if you're a kid, you know, you get anxiety just over going to school and dealing with people. But God doesn't want us to live in that, and he gives us his mighty hand. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, Peter says. And I want you to see these three things because I want you to understand this is true for every single one of you in this room. It's true for me and it's true for you. I preached a funeral in this same room yesterday and I told people, even if you don't believe in God, he believes in you. And if you're here this morning and you don't believe in God or you're struggling with faith and you just feel like he's far from you, I want you to understand that he is trying to come close to you today and he's trying to save you and he's trying to reach you and he's trying to free you from these things. And you hear this a lot, that God has a plan for you, but it's absolutely true. The first one is the mighty hand of God. God's hand represents a plan for your life. God does have a plan for your life. I don't care if you believe that or not, or you think that's crazy preacher or Christian talk, it's true. In my own life, when I was a teenager and I was planning my own life, running after my own plan, I had a plan to be a computer programmer and to work in an office in a cubicle and make tons of money and have nice stuff. That's what I was like going like hardcore for. I was like, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to do all these things. I had an intersection with God in my life, and God said, that's a great plan, but I have a better plan for you. I have a better plan for you. I want to take you, and I want to use you, and I want you to do things for me. This morning, for those of us that are anxious and worried and stressed and fearful. Today's going to be, I'm just going to be honest with you, because it was hard for me to write this, it was hard for me to study this. Some of this is just going to be a wake-up call, and God's going to stomp on your feet, because a lot of the issues that we have, we are causing in our own lives. But to change and to be reformed and transformed by God and His Spirit, you have to be honest with yourself and see where you're at. Some of you are not following God's plan for your life. You're following your plan. You're chasing after your desires, you're chasing after your wants, you're chasing after things that this world tells you you need to have to be complete. And instead of getting those things and being fulfilled and feeling like you are getting your dreams met, you get those things or you chase after those things and you have more stress, you have more fear, you have more worry, you have more anxiety, and you're like, but this isn't what I was promised. Because what this world promises us is false. What God promises us, He says, if you follow me and you chase after me, I will give you a new life. I will make you a new creation, and I will do things through your life that you never dreamed possible, and I will give you life to the full. The devil is the one who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy the things that you have. So what I want you to hear this morning is that God is saying to those of you that are lonely, that are stressed, that are unhappy, that are living stupid, like our first week, those of you that are full of anxiety, He wants you to hear that He has a plan for your life. And He wants you to search that plan out. All of us, we've talked about this many times, all of us are called to follow Jesus and to reach people and to love people. And we've been talking about this for weeks. All of us are called to use our gifts and abilities and talents to do that. That's your plan. But some of you are in careers, some of you are in relationships, some of you are in neighborhoods, some of you are in seasons of life that you're in because that's what you want. And it's been a long time since you looked up and said, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want to use my life? And I understand that. It's easy to get busy and on your own track and to build your own kingdom and to build your own plan. And some of that's not wrong, and some of it's just how God wired you, and He might be working with you on that plan. But some of you, I want you to do a gut check. If you are full of anxiety and fear and worry and your life is just chaos and you're just popping pill after pill and trying to read books, trying to figure things out, maybe it's that you're not living in God's plan. And His plan, remember, is represented by His mighty hand, His hand that wants to rescue you, that He wants to lead you, He wants to guide you, He wants to take care of you, He wants to love you, He wants to cradle you. I'm so thankful that 20-some years ago, God started changing me and showing me His plan for my life. And some of you know my story. When God told me this, I was a 19-year-old kid on a mission trip, and I was like, God, I prayed that stupid prayer of, God, what do you want me to do? By the way, that is stupid if you're not going to listen, like I did. It's a very dangerous prayer because He will tell you if you ask Him. And I prayed, God, what do you want to do with my life? I will do whatever you say. And He's like, I was on a mission trip with a youth group, and He said, I want you to do this. I want you to be in ministry. He kind of spoke that to my heart and soul. And I said, oh, okay, wait, parameters. Everything, anything you say but that. My bad, God. And for 3 years, I ran from His plan. I said, no. And God just kept spitting me up like He did Jonah, saying, no, you're going to do this. This is going to happen. But I'm glad He did, because I wouldn't be before you today. I wouldn't be seeing some of the plans that God is working in your lives. And I know that some of you sitting here are walking hand in hand with God, and you're chasing His plan for your life, and you're invested in it, and you're living it. But if you're not this morning, this is not a chastisement. This is not condemnation. I want you to understand that you're missing out on how you were truly created to live. You're missing out on being blessed by God and being a blessing to other people because of what He's doing in your life. And I don't want you to miss out on that. The second thing that God's hand represents is the provision of God. Provision. We're talking about Peter, right? And Peter, just like the other 12 guys, he knows the provision of God. Peter was with Jesus for 3.5 years. He saw Jesus take a kid's snack pack, right, and change it into enough food for thousands. So much food that they had leftovers. They picked up leftovers. They were talking to Jesus before and said, Jesus, we just need to send these people home. We don't have enough food, and they're all hungry. Jesus says, hey, give me what you got. He blesses it. They feed thousands. This is the Jesus that Peter knows. That's the God of provision that he knows. Not only that, did he just take food and multiply it? Peter had been in a room. Remember, he was in the inner circle of Jesus' guys, Peter, James, and John. Peter was in a room when Jesus took the hand of a dead girl, a little girl that had died. not falling asleep, not sick with the flu. She was dead. Jesus took her hand and raised her back to life. He saw God provide that through Jesus. He saw Jesus raise all kinds of people and change people. He saw Jesus give people sight that were blind from birth. He saw Jesus raise people to walk again that could not walk. And this is the Peter that's teaching us. God's mighty hand wants to provide for you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to give to you. And I'm not talking about just money. I don't want you to hear that because we don't preach that at all here at the Well Church. God didn't come here, Jesus didn't come here to die for you to get more money and to get more stuff. That may happen in your life, and if that does, that's so you can turn around and be more generous. But what I'm talking about God providing for you is a plan for your life, but also the things, the tools, and the people that are necessary to make that happen. He's going to give you the gifts, the ability, the strength, the courage to make this happen. But once again, we're talking about anxiety. And some of you just thinking about, man, doing big things for God just fills you with anxiety. Raise your hand if sometimes you start thinking about that. You're like, God wants me to do stuff, and I just start getting scared. Does anybody ever do that? Just me? Okay, there you go. You're even scared to raise your hand. I get it. I'm one of you. It's terrifying when God wants to use you. And you go, well, why me? I'm a sinful, screwed up, flawed person. Like, God, you know what I did Thursday, right? Like, you saw that, right? You know how I talked to that person or what I did or what I said or where I went. He does. But he still loves you and he still wants to use you and he still wants to provide for you. Not to provide for you just to bless you, but like we say all the time, God wants to work through you. God moves through his people. That's how he does things. That's how he changes lives. He no longer comes down here and has to do it for us. He says, I gave you the keys to my kingdom. My children, you live it out and you bless other people. I want you to understand that the same hand that split the Red Sea and the Israelites walked across safely is the same hand of God, the same power that you have access to. He can do the same things in your life. It might not be splitting a Red Sea, but it might be something that miraculous and powerful in your life that needs to happen for him to show you that he's with you so that you can do the things that he not needs you to do, but wants you to do so that you will have life to the full and will start to walk away from some of your fear and worry and anxiety. Because once again, I want to say, some of you are missing out on the provision of God because you're like me, and too many times you focus on the worry and the stress and the chaos, and you just look at that one thing, this is causing me so many problems, and that's your focus. And when you take your eyes off of Jesus, things start to happen. You start to sink, and that's exactly what the third mighty thing God's hand represents. It's his protection. It's his protection. Turn to Matthew chapter 14 with me. Matthew chapter 14, we're also talking about Peter in this gospel. In Matthew chapter 14, this is where Peter walks on water, right? Jesus is walking to the guys, they're all on a boat. And this is why I like Peter. The rest of the guys, there's 12 guys in this boat. One gets out. The other 11 sit there. Peter, he might have been scared. He might have been not full of faith to the point where he needed to be, but at least he had enough faith and enough courage and enough just craziness in him to listen to Jesus, and he gets out of the boat and he starts to walk towards Jesus. But what I want you to see is this. He starts walking towards Jesus, and when he gets close to Jesus, it says that he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and what starts to happen to him, church? He starts to sink. But what I want you to see this is this, because some of you feel like you're sinking in life. Some of you feel like the waves are just starting to crash over your head and you're just starting to take in water and you're like, I'm drowning, right? I get it. I know you're here this morning and you have your church face on. You're like, everything's just great, but it's not. You feel like you're drowning in life. I want you to see what Peter did here because I've missed this for so many years. Peter was walking towards Jesus. He starts to sink. He's sinking, but he's not sunk, right? He's drowning, but he's not dead yet. And what does he do while he starts sinking? He took his eyes off Jesus, starts sinking, then what does he do? He cries out to Jesus. He says, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And what happens? Immediately it says that Jesus reaches out his hand and pulls Peter up back onto the water. A lot of times we talk about Jesus pulls him back up into the boat. Jesus wasn't in the boat. Where was Jesus? He's walking on the water. He pulled Peter back up onto the water to walk with him. But what I want you to see is the posture of this. Jesus is over here. The boat's over here. Peter was walking towards Jesus, and he took his eyes off of him, and he started to sink. And he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus immediately reached down his hand and saved him. What I want you to understand is this. Peter was saved by Jesus because he was walking towards Jesus. He was close to Jesus. He was chasing after Jesus, and he was in enough proximity, he was so close to Jesus that Jesus could reach out his hand. Some of you are drowning and you're sinking in this world, and your issue is not that you're drowning and sinking. Your issue is that you're far from Jesus, and you're not close to him where he can save you. Do you see the difference? You will not allow yourself, I want to say that again, some of you are far enough away from Jesus that you will not allow yourself to be close to him where he can save you. And I teach this all the time. I've taught this my entire life because I know it to be true because Jesus chases down his lost sheep. If you turn from Jesus, once again, Jesus is over here. If you turn from Jesus, where is Jesus when you're doing this? Is he just hanging out over there going, hope he comes back? No, he's right behind you. He chases you down because he loves you. But you have to do this motion. You have to turn to him to be able to reach his hand forever, for him to reach you. So this morning, I want you to think about your life. If you are here and you're one of these people that are full, you're just anxious and you're fearful and your life is chaotic and all this worry is just drowning you and you feel like you're sinking, I want you to think about your own life. Where are you with Jesus? And it goes with this plan. It goes with this provision. Are you living like Jesus? Are you praying? Are you talking? Are you reading the scriptures? Are you being involved in church? Are you doing the things that a child of God does? Not to check religious boxes so that you're good enough, that you have to do these things. We get to do these things so that you can actually make it in this thing we call life. Because life is hard, amen? Right? Life is not always just puppy dog kisses and rosy glasses when you become a Christian. Stuff still happens. Crap still falls apart. People still stab you in the back. You need Jesus with you in this life. And I want you to think about that. Those of you that are full of all of this chaos and fear and worry, where are you with Jesus? When is the last time you did cry out to him, Jesus, save me? Because I want you to know, yeah, you need to be close to Jesus. But if you have Jesus in your life, like I said, even if you're running from him, he's right there with you, chasing you down. He just wants you to turn around to him so that you are close enough to him and that you can see him once again and focus on him so that you can be in his grip. God's mighty hand represents his plan for your life, his provision for your life, but also your protection. I do want to bring this up though because I'm a realist and I don't just believe that Jesus saves you and he does from every situation, right? Has anybody ever cried out to Jesus, Jesus, take this from me and save me from the, and he doesn't answer? Anybody done that? Some of you are like, today? Yeah, right? Because I want you to understand this is reality and this is truth. And some of you need to hear this. I've needed to hear this in my life many times. But sometimes Jesus and God, they will allow you to get to a very low place. They will allow you to continue to sink and go to a low place because some of us are stubborn. Where's my stubborn people? I like you to raise your hand a lot. Look at someone next to you and be like, I'm stubborn. Because those of us that are stubborn, man, we like to own it. Right? I am stubborn, right, Wendy? Yeah. Okay. Do you hear the anger in that voice? Yeah. Very stubborn, right? Very stubborn. I like to do things my own way. And I apparently love rock bottom because I end up there a lot. And some of you are like, we know. And some of you are like, yeah, me too. Here's what I want you to understand. God will allow you sometimes to get down to that place. Those of us that are stubborn, or sometimes it's just a place in your life where you need to go, or maybe God's teaching you something. Because when you get very low, when you're at bottom, where's the only direction you can look? Is up. Sometimes you finally get to a place, and you're chasing your own plan, you're trying to provide for yourself, you're trying to make everything work out for your own self, you're trying to protect yourself and do all these things to plan for your future, and then all of a sudden you realize, I am just full of anxiety and fear, all these things, and I'm at rock bottom, and then you finally look up and go, God save me. God save me. It finally occurs to you, your stubbornness starts to go away, and he says, okay, I will show up, and I will be with you. What I like about that picture is that sometimes people around you, people notice when things are falling apart in your life sometimes, right? And a lot of us as Christians will be like, someone will come up to you and be like, man, are you okay? You don't seem okay. And of course, we're like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good, man. God's awesome. This is great. But inside, you're like, I'm dying. Please help me. But when people see that, and then they see God grab your hand, and they see God's mighty hand pull you back to reality and back into a normal, whatever that is, life, and get you back to safety and where you need to be, it points people to him and his goodness. It points people back to him and his goodness. So those of you that are here this morning and you're struggling with this like I do over and over, I think I'm going to struggle with this for the rest of my life, but I hope it gets easier and easier because of this next part, what Peter shows us. What was Peter's job before he followed Jesus? He was a fisherman, right? Here's a fisherman, and there's a story in the Bible that Jesus runs into Peter and these guys, right? It's actually after the resurrection. It's in John, if you want to look it up. And it says they've been fishing all night, and they have not caught anything, and they're coming in, and Jesus is on the shore, and he says, hey, cast your net on the other side if you want to catch fish. And they kind of look at him like, really, dude? Because they didn't know it was Jesus at this point. It must have been dark or something. And so they go, okay. And they cast the net onto the other side of the boat, and what happens? You guys know? They catch so many fish that they can't even pull it into the boat. So they have to just get out of the boat and drag it in, right, to Jesus. They get up there like, oh, of course it's Jesus. This is why we have so many fish. This is what's happening. But what I want you to understand is this. They had been trying the same thing over and over all night, trying to catch fish on this side of the boat. Jesus says, hey, why don't you try it my way? Why don't you cast your net on the other side? And their life, their boat, their nets were filled with abundance. Once again, Jesus came to give you life to the what? Full. Some of you need to take this idea from Peter. He was casting the net on the wrong side of the boat. Some of you are doing that with your life. You're chasing after your plan, your dreams, your provision, your protection, your idea of that, your plan to get to where you want to be. And it's not making you have life to the full. It's filling you with anxiety. Jesus is saying to you this morning, why don't you cast your net to my side? Why don't you try it my way? And to those of you that are living in chaos and anxiety and fear, you have nothing to lose. Your way is not producing results. Give Jesus a chance. Maybe give him another chance because that's why he's so good. He died on a cross to give us infinite number of chances. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you can still come back to him and still ask forgiveness and still cast your net on his side. No matter how much you've strayed from him, he will allow you to come back because that's who he is. That's who he is. Challenging you, if you're struggling with this like I do many times, try it Jesus' way, because I want you to see what anxiety really is. Go ahead and put the word anxiety up there. I want you to look at this word. I stole this from another preacher that I love. There's the word anxiety. What's in the middle? It's in your bulletin. You already probably have seen this. Go to the next one. What is in the middle? It's like Wheel of Fortune. The I is in the middle of anxiety. And I said this earlier. This is where it's going to start to get hard and a little personal. But some of you, your issue, your reason that you have so much anxiety in your life is because you are in the middle of your life. You are at the center of your universe. And what I want you to understand, that's not just sinful, that's not just wrong, that's not just stupid. It's not how we were created to live. We were created to live and know God. We are created to serve Jesus and his people. We are created to put him on the throne of our lives. He is the king, not you. And what I want you to understand, some of you are like, man, I just have the weight of the world on my shoulders, have all these things that I got to do, all these work issues and all these family problems and all these issues, and you're trying to figure it out because it's all about you. Jesus came and he says, I want to take your burden. I want to take your sin. Put it on me. Remember, in this verse that we looked at today, he says, cast your anxiety on who? On him. Peter teaches us, that's what Jesus says, is cast your anxiety on him. He cares for you. This is why he came for you. You were not created to carry this. It feels like the weight of the world on your shoulders because you weren't designed to carry it. You can't do it. And he says, I'll take it for you for free because I love you. I can carry it. I can carry it. It has a lot to do with pride, and we're going to get there in a minute, but I want to say this about anxiety. It is just a self check for you, because this hurt me hardcore. I was like, oh man, this is totally me. This is completely me. You test yourself and say, hey, am I in the center of my life, or is God in the center of my life? In church, just this week, when I was studying and reading and listening to sermons and podcasts about this, I was like, oh man, this is one of my biggest issues. You can tell if this is your issue by the language that you speak, right? And it might not be audible. It might be the voice in your head that's like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can take this. I don't know if I want to go there. You know, I can't believe I did this again. I. Do you see the issue? It's always about you. And when you are a believer, you are a follower of Jesus, it should be us. Not just us, but us. It takes a community. It takes a church. It takes a relationship with Jesus. Many of us in this room have this eye problem of putting yourself in the middle. And I just want to share the story with you of becoming a pastor because I want you to see that I am not perfect at all. Some of you think I am, which is really disturbing. But I have many issues just like you. I am a human being, just as sinful, just as scared, just as fragile. I'm going to die just like you. But I have Jesus in my life. But 2 years ago, when our last pastor left and the pastor position was open, it wasn't even on my radar. Like, I never wanted to be a preacher. I never wanted that. But people started talking to me and speaking truth into my life. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you. God had been telling me for several years, you're going to be the pastor at this church. But just like when I was 19, I'm stubborn. Remember that part? I told God back then, no. I told God 2 years ago, no. I know you're God and you created the universe and trees and manatees and all that cool stuff, but you're wrong this time. Like the youth pastor thing, that's worked out. That's great. Other people, this one, you're absolutely crazy. It's not happening. And God kept speaking to me through other people and all kinds of different things. And here's what happened in my life, and it still blows my mind this has happened. But 2 years ago, we were on the Mexico mission trip, my week that I'm closest to Jesus. And I had to make a decision, like, do I want to apply for the pastor job or not? And while we're down there, I'd already kind of known. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. And Heather and Chris Stewart are really close. I've worked with them for 10-plus years, and I went to them, and they had been praying about it and knew that I was struggling with making a decision. I went to them Wednesday morning. I'm never going to forget this in my life because God moved in my life. God smacked me in my life, okay, because that's what he does sometimes to stubborn people. But Wednesday morning, I went to Chris, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do this pastor thing. It's just not going to happen. Because I'd prayed and talked to God, and he told me to do it, and I said no. I just told God no, which is really, don't. This is not your pastor teaching you how to live. Like, this is your pastor showing you I'm an idiot. Don't live like this, and you'll be just fine. But I told God no. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Told Chris and Heather, said, hey, we're good. We'll find another pastor. That night at our church service thing at our building, a former pastor that we had worked with down in Mexico came, and long story short, he basically prophesied, which was something I never seen, didn't really believe in. I thought it kind of died out with the miracles and Jesus, all those things. But he prophesied over us and said, basically, the person who's going to be the pastor at your church is here and stuff. And several people came up to me and told me that he was talking about me. I knew it. I was sitting at the back of the room that night with my son because he was tired and struggling and being six, and I was about to kill him. And then God's up there saying, hey, I know you told me. Basically, this is what I heard that night. He's like, boy, I know that you think you're going to tell me no and you think you're going to do what you want, but I'm showing up. I'm going to make you do this because this is my plan for you, and you are stubborn. You're a child, just like your six-year-old's acting like now. That's how you're acting in your spirit. You're going to do this. And God broke me and showed me and just appeared in this crazy way that I still am just like, this doesn't make sense to me, but this is what he does. And I finally said yes to that, and we're here today, which is crazy, and I don't understand why he's still doing this. No. And I don't want you to be mistaken. This is not a story about, oh, I'm awesome. This is a story about me telling God no, and God saying, no, I know what you need. I know what this group of people needs. I know what I'm going to do. I know the plans I have for you. I know the things I'm going to provide for you. I know the protection that I'm going to give to you. If he can do it for me, a stubborn, rebellious child of his, he can do it for you. It's not just for preachers. It's for teachers. It's for lawyers. It's for school kids. It's for every single person that calls on the name of Jesus. He will show up, and he will take you to a new place. He will take your anxiety away when you say, okay, I'm no longer going to lead my life. I'm going to follow you. You seem like you've done this a little bit better, that you've been around the block a little bit more. Oh, you also created me, so you probably know how I work out. I'm going to follow you. And the issue is another word with I in the middle. It's pride. Go ahead and put pride up there. A lot of us deal with this. And this week, this word rocked my world more than anxiety because I always was taught and always thought that I was not a prideful person because I thought pride was just thing like, dude, I'm the coolest person on the planet. Like, just look at me. I am all that and a bag of chips, right? Which I am, by the way, so that's an issue. But I don't really have that. Like, I don't have a high opinion of myself. My biggest critic is myself. We've talked about that, and many of you have that as well. But I realized this week and was taught this week by other pastors and some of the things I read, pride is not always just thinking that you are so great. Pride can also be thinking that you are so nothing, right? And I want you to understand, we are nothing without Jesus. That's true. We are nothing without Jesus, but I now have Jesus and he makes me everything. But I still struggle with this on a daily basis. That's what I was telling Jesus in Mexico. I'm not smart enough for this. I'm not old enough for this. I'm not a good enough speaker to do this. I'm not a good enough leader. I have all this sin in my life. I still have all these struggles. I told God, when I get to this place, that's when I'll start to do these things you want me to do. But that's still this. And the problem is exactly the same as my anxiety. I was in the middle. It was all about me. And once again, he told me, he's like, hey, you didn't do youth ministry the last 20 years. All this stuff that's happened, all these blessings, all these good things, it ain't because you did it. It's because I was there with you. And I was like, oh yeah, my bad. And it changed my life. And I think that some of you need to hear that this morning, because I know like a lot of you in here don't think that you are the best person on the planet. Some of you might. And that's prideful too, and just kind of humble yourselves and kind of lower yourself. You're not that rad, right? You're pretty cool, but I know people that are cooler, okay? But a lot of you are like me. You struggle with this, like, I'm not good enough for God. I've made too many mistakes. I've rebelled against him and been stubborn too many times. Like, so I'm just going to stay over here and just kind of do this little quiet thing until heaven shows up. But Jesus is going, no, that's about you. Because we say this all the time, but some of us, We need to believe it, and we need to live it out. I need to start believing this and living it out. We say this all the time. He's going to take your mess and turn it into what? Your message. He's going to take your mess, the mess of your life. Even if you create it, he's going to take that. He's going to turn it into your message. It's taking you from rock bottom to where he's going to take you, and people are going to see that, and you can say, look, I didn't get back on my feet. I didn't get out of that hole that I dug by myself. Jesus and God did it for me and with me. He's going to take your chaos and he's going to turn it into your testimony of what he does in people's lives, if you allow him. That's who he is. That's what he does. I'm going to go back to that verse where it says, cast your anxiety upon him because he cares for you, right? I read this week and I was blown away by this too. I learned a lot this week, and this, like I said, I think God was speaking to me just as much as you, and I know other people need to hear this because it's still one of my biggest struggles, but I've always thought, okay, that's what I need to do. I need to cast my anxiety on Jesus. I need to give it to him because he cares for me. That's not the command in those verses. Look at it. The command is not cast your anxiety upon him. The command is humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You have to humble yourself. You have to get rid of your pride. You have to realize your anxiety is because you are in the center. You have to humble yourself, which means lower yourself and put yourself into the hand of God. When you become a Christian, you put your life into his life. And when you do that, when you follow that command in obedience, that allows you to have the opportunity and the ability to give him your anxiety. And until some of you humble yourself, and I had to deal with this week, until I humble myself, I keep carrying it around, laying myself and giving it to you. I can't even hand over my stuff. I keep carrying it around like a trash bag full of trash. I just keep going back and picking up my anxiety and my problems and my issues. I'll give it to him for a day or a season, but then I go back to him and go, oh, I've got this. I need this back. I want to say that again. To cast your anxiety upon him is not the command. The command is the result of being obedient to the command of humbling yourself. Humbling yourself. Some of you need to hear that in a big way. That pride issue is big. It was big for Peter. In Mark chapter 14, 27. Remember, Peter didn't understand this. I know we read the Bible sometimes and we think of Paul and we think of Peter and all these big faith leaders that we read in the Bible are like, man, these guys were just so smart. Peter made all kinds of failures. He did all kinds of things wrong, and this is one of them. In Mark 14, 27, Jesus and his guys are having dinner. And Jesus is starting to warn them of the cross and all of the chaos that's going to surround that. And he looks at them at this dinner and he says, all of you, right? Jesus, I love Jesus. He's awesome. He knows how to throw a party and just bring it down, right? He's having this party, this dinner party. And he looks at them and he says, all of you are going to fall away. They're like, well, that's great. He says, all of you are going to fall away. But Peter still had pride issues. both directions of thinking he was nothing, but also thinking he was amazing. Peter, at this dinner party, when Jesus says, all of you are going to fall away, Peter looks at Jesus and the other 11 guys. He says, even if all of these guys fall away, I will not. He says, I will not. It's right there again. I. Do you see the problem? He's like, I've got this, Jesus. I'm not going to do it. That's verse 29. But if you look at Mark 14:30, this is the verse where Jesus says, before the rooster crows twice tonight, Peter, he says, you will deny me how many times? Three times. And that's exactly what happens. Peter denies Jesus three times, his friend, his Savior, the Messiah that he believed in. The guy that the same night he said, I will never fall away, I will never turn away. Peter denies him because of pride. And it filled with him with anxiety and fear and worry. Because what does Peter do after the cross? Where did he go to? He went back to his fishing job. He returned to his old way of life. He went back to his life pre-Jesus. Because that roaring lion was speaking into Peter's ear. He's like, see, you've blown it. You've went too far this time. You've done a lot of stupid stuff, but denying Jesus, this guy that you know to be the Son of God, was too much. And some of you hear that voice. You hear the lion roaring in your ear, and you're like, yeah, I can't do this. He's devouring you. You're slowly being taken into him. But what I want you to understand this morning is that that lion is on a leash. The enemy, the devil, he can attack you, he can come against you, but he cannot end your life if you fight against him and you resist him and you persist in your faith. If you struggle with this, go to Jesus. It's just like last week, if you struggle with being alone, run to Jesus. He will take your anxiety away. He will give you a plan for your life. He will give you the things you need to make that plan happen, and he will protect you and he will use you. He can change your life from the inside out. He can start to take your fear and worry, and he can start to use that to bless other people. And I know that there's many of you in here that struggle with that just like me. So what I want to do right now is I just want to pray. And if you are struggling with this and, you know, you feel like God's moving in your life and like you're like, man, this message was for me. People tell me that every once in a while, like, man, that just spoke to me in a huge way. That's not me. That's God. That's his spirit. He knows what you're going through. We're all very similar. Remember, it said in the very beginning of these scriptures, we are not in this alone. The family of God is suffering in the same way all over the place. So what I want to do is I'm going to pray, and during this time, if you feel like God is speaking to you and you want to be healed from this, you want to leave your anxiety behind because life is too short to live that way, while I'm praying, I just want you to stand up and just raise your hands and allow God to start speaking to you again, to start using you again. So let me pray. God in heaven, you are here, and I feel your presence, and I know that you are good. God, I pray and I thank you for doing the things that you've done in my life. Father, I pray over the people in this room right now that because of pride, they are full of anxiety and issues and chaos and struggles that you don't want them to have. The devil, the enemy is coming against them, but they have you, your mighty hand of protection and provision and your plan. Father, I pray right now that people in this room would begin to stand up as just a symbol of standing up for you and with you because you are good. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for how you're moving. I thank you for our visitors. I pray that you send more. I pray that we invite. And I pray that we reach out to people who need the love of Jesus in their life. God, you are so good. We thank you for the time that we have to meet in this place as your church to make things happen for the kingdom. It's in your awesome name I pray. Amen.
Hey, this is Pastor Cole from The Well Church. I'm so excited you listened to our podcast. I'd be even more excited to see you in person at a Sunday service at The Well Church. God is moving and doing so much in our church, and we want you to be part of it. You can also give online to The Well Church if you're looking for a way to do that, but we would love to see you and love to have you worship with us any Sunday at 10 a.m. at The Well Church. Have an awesome day, and always remember that Jesus loves you so much.